Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 4, we were talking about people that either take away from the commands or add their ideas to commands. Let's end the week with that thought. Satan, in Jesus' name, developed in rabbinical writings things that had an appeal to the ear, but were contrary to the scriptures. For an example, man has a gift from God. So when he has this gift for God, if he'll use it for God, he's no longer obligated to use the gift to honor his parents. So he can use it for a sacred purpose. That sounds good. Well, you know, I'd like to do this for my parents. Most kids should, but God wants me to use this for him. But obedience to the command to honor mother and father are sacred. They're part of the Ten Commandments. They're repeated in the New Testament. It was the promise, the command that had a promise with, the first command was promised. You see, they were after the disciples of Jesus for eating food off a stalk in the field on the Sabbath. But then Jesus told them about getting their ox that fell in the ditch on the Sabbath out of the ditch. Well, you see, they added to the command in one case, and in another case, they take away from the command. Some teach that today, on divorce, ways of adding to the command, while others take away from the command on the same issue, instead of sticking with the word. But the bottom line is to get the whole counsel of God. I did a 5-part series of sermons in our church a few years ago on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. One man who was an engineer said, as a matter of fact, a couple different ones that were engineers said, I listened to that whole thing from the beginning to end, and it was just like an engineer taking the first part and showing you how everything works by this point to this point to this point to this point, and said they liked the way it was laid out. Well, that was God. God laid it out, not me. But there are some people, because psychology or some Christian college taught them something different, they would not come to the church during that service and during that time, or they would come for the music, then they'd walk out, not have to hear that sermon. Now, of course, somebody like that does that, you're supposed to be part of your church, they would have no business at all. I mean, they would be completely on the devil's side to speak against a sermon they did not hear. Okay? Don't run down a sermon that you did not hear. If you didn't hear it, don't run it down. If you didn't read what they said, don't run it down. Now, Jesus spoke as one having authority, it was noted. He did not say, Rabbi Bernstein says, and Rabbi Songbird says. No, Jesus spoke as thus saith the Lord. Now, too many today, when they get up and preach, are either quoting Rick Warren or some psychologist or some Calvinist book they read. And a host of religious leaders who do as the former group and justify the flesh to sin, while the others in the Calvinistic camp will quote books and authors from the past, as they did in Jesus' day, quoting rabbinical writings of the past and these strict things that were not of God, particularly when they tried to take away from the Ten Commandments about honoring mother and father and add to the thing about the Sabbath when the disciples just got some food to eat. They weren't harvesting. Oh, my goodness. In either case, it seems to, in one way or another, it affects the flesh. The Holy Spirit never applies liberty to the flesh. He doesn't justify sin. When someone does, you know that that is another spirit that is influencing them. And people that turn to the flesh to do the work of God, thinking this is what we need to do to win them, is doing the wrong thing. This kind of reminds me of David. You know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, David gets the ark, says, we got to bring that up to Jerusalem. And boy, I tell you what, they get a new ox cart. They've got the band playing. Everybody's happy. And there's Uzzah going right behind. And then the oxen's kind of stumble. And you see the ark beginning to lean. And he grabs up and touches it so it doesn't fall. Now, his intents are good. But God strikes him dead. Two chapters later, because David got afraid of the Lord and just stopped everything right there, says, put this in Obed-Edom's house. Okay. He says, I don't want to go any further. I don't want to kill anybody else. Well, he finds out that Obed-Edom, his house has been greatly blessed because it has the Ark of the Covenant there. And then he comes around. Oh, it just seems so much better. Because the Philistines used the Ark. Remember, they put the Ark on a new cart. And they put these oxen, and they brought the cart back to Israel. Those oxen with their babies, their baby oxen back there bleeding for them, but yet they walked on. Even though their own offspring were crying out for them, they walked on. That was miraculous. That was the working of God. But people were so impressed with that, they said, hey, we've got to put this on a new heart. We got to do it this way. That's not how God told him to do it for God's people. God's people were to put staves in it, and the people of the Levitical order was to carry it. So in chapter 15, David admits that he was wrong, and they corrected it. They corrected it right there. He even said, okay, these priests are going to carry it. They've got to sanctify themselves. They've got to be not only called to do the work, but they've got to be prepared to do the work. So they've got to be holy. They've got to be cleansed from this stuff, and they've got to get it right. Now, I admit, there are people doing some marketing schemes and all that, and they've grown large churches. We've got churches filled with empty people. Empty of the Spirit of God, empty of the salvation of God, and unrepentant people. Oh, they'll use the word repentance and so forth. But then they all use sinful music, use sinful dress and sinful ways, and then all of a sudden say, well, we've got liberty to do these things. What's repentance about? Because that is, I'm not talking about the specific sin of the music. I'm talking about the nature that's behind the music, the nature that's behind immodest dress. That nature, they're unwilling to repent. They don't want to repent. And so, as a result, they don't learn true doctrine. So again, the Holy Spirit never applies liberty to the flesh. And when someone does, you know there's another spirit influencing them. Get away from them. Okay? Now, having said that, we think back here in the Word of God that brethren is using the Bible to identify the false prophet and hence the false spirit that deceives them. You see, brethren, that's what it's doing. Use the Bible, as we just showed you here, to identify the false prophet and the spirit that deceives him. The devil will use the philosophy in conjunction with the scriptures to wrest the scriptures to the destruction of the Christian testimony. That's why I emphasize reading the Bible through each year, meditating upon it. Let it govern your thinking by the Holy Spirit teaching it to you. I find it interesting. There's nothing wrong with the terminology. People, instead of giving a visitor's card, what do we give now to come to church? A connection card. We want to make a connection with you. And we like to use the word connection. Oh, it's so personal and loving. Listen, friend. A visitor card is a visitor card. Now, we say in our bulletin, every visitor is an honored guest. Now, if they're not saved and they refuse to be saved, do we have a connection? Do we have a spirit connection? No, we don't. They're a visitor that we're trying to bring to Christ. So, again, even though that's a term that I don't get upset about whether somebody used it or not, it's just the only thing that bothers me about it is that it's a marketing scheme that's depending on using these words to get them in instead of the Holy Spirit of God to work in their heart through the preaching of the Word. Now, let's look at some thoughts here. The Christian, first, is as we look at the Christian, do you see the deception of the devil? Often using Scripture in part to do so, or misusing the Scripture. For example, the Bible speaks of the attire of a harlot. It says that in Proverbs. So we say, well, is it a New Testament era today? So we have liberty for women to dress like a harlot in a very seductive manner and even come to church that way. And it's good for parents, dads, to allow their little daughters to dress that way. You say, preacher, no. Hey, but it goes on, doesn't it? And by the way, it is still the attire of a harlot. Now, ladies, I've said this on my broadcast, I've said this in my church, I will not back down from it, so don't write me about this, but let me say this. If you're wearing a top so low that it shows even one millionth of an inch of what only your husband is to see, it is too low. If your dress length is at a point where it attracts men's eyes, they're hoping that you sit just right for them to see something. That skirt's wrong. It should be long enough that there's no danger of, no matter how you sit, of them seeing things that only your husband is to see.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.